Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Supply.
Enjoy cracking deals at Asda this Easter. For a roast with the most, try our mouth-watering whole lamb leg. Named Best Easter Lamb 2025 by the Good Housekeeping Institute. Now roll back to half price. Down from £12.36 per kilo to just £6.17. And selected fresh veg now only 8p. For more great offers, make Asda your one-hop Easter shop. That's Asda price. Selected stores and lines subject to availability. Lamb offer ends 20th of April. Veg offer ends 21st of April. Excludes Asda Express.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Hey folks, this is Risk, the show where people tell true stories they never thought they'd dare to share. I'm Kevin Allison, and every Thursday, we release these special episodes where we look back at content from the earlier years of the podcast. This week, it's the Best of Drug Stories, number 3, another 420 edition. In other words, stories about weed. In a little bit, we're going to hear from Matt Higgins and Will Clegg, but first, a story from Hemda, formerly the co-host of the legendary podcast Keith and the Girl. Now she teaches what she calls the OMAT program, which you can learn more about at omatprogram.com. Here's Hemda now at a Risk Live show in New York in 2014 with a story we call The Hulk.
Hi, thank you. So much fun to be here. I don't know if you could tell by my name, I'm from the Middle East, and I was raised with very traditional Middle Eastern family. It's very sexist, very tight. And one of the things that they like to do is instead of explaining some things to you so that you won't do the wrong thing, they just scare the ever-living shit out of you. And then kind of guilt you into not doing it. And it worked for a lot of things, including drugs. I really thought that if I smoked some pot, I'd be on some street somewhere. I'd be homeless. I don't know. I believed also the commercials around that time. I was around 10 or so. I believed the commercials where my brain would turn into an egg and just fry on the street. I thought that I would melt into a couch and never be able to talk to a dog again. I just was so frightened. And I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't try it really. I took a couple sips. Maybe I pretended I was drunk a couple times just for funsies because I was bored. So I was 21 and I did. I tried it a little bit, but as some of you might know who may have tasted the marijuana, it doesn't really take the first couple times. So still at 21, I still wasn't doing anything. But it's interesting, the more you tell people you don't do it, you're not interested in it, it's just not your thing, the more it pours your way. So I got shots bought for me, I got marijuana pasta. I'm still calling it marijuana. I'm so not cool. So I'm having all this stuff. If you ever, ever want a shot or want any kind of drug, just say you're completely opposed to it, and it'll just fly your way. So at 25 years old, I decided to try this again. I had a roommate moving in, and he was the biggest pothead, skater, tattoos, awesome. And this is what made me feel safe, to try it for the first time. The second night that he was there, he's so enthusiastic. I'm going to get you high for the first time. It's going to be amazing. And I thought, hey, I won't take anyway. Let's try it. I think my brain is fully developed now. I've cooked a couple of eggs. We're good. So he takes out a bong, and I don't know what the hell to do with a bong. Even to this, yes, to this day, if I'm going to try that, somebody has to hold the little thingy and then tell me how high to go. And then, you know, what a pothead in the front. Do you really know? So that's what he did. He held the little thing for me, told me to inhale, told me to hold it, but it was this big, you know, sort of like I was running a marathon. He was very enthusiastic about it. Hold it. Go, 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 go. And I 5 seconds later, I'm not high, so I try it again. Yes. You are right to murmur. So I tried it again, and I tried it again, and I tried it again, and I never held my breath for so long ever in my life. And I was like, see, it doesn't, whoa. And I feel it, like, you know, in a video game where you sort of power up, like, I feel the high coming from, I don't know, my vagina, somewhere. I feel it coming up, and I'm like, fuck, I'm getting high! And I'm freaking out. I'm just like, holy shit, this is it. It's coming. I could feel it. It's like, I don't know, am I going to vomit? What's happening? And I'm, as I'm panicking, I've watched enough TV and enough movies that you can give yourself a bad high. And so I try to calm myself down. I'm just like, we're cool. Don't give yourself a bad high. I'm just sort of breathing. And then I fall into that haze. And then I made a complete fool of myself. I thought that we were having a lot of fun, but my roommate, we'll call him Evan, because that's his name. My roommate Evan, the next day, called me shameless, which I did not know that's what was happening the night before. But here's what happens. You guys make your own decisions. I decided that Evan was on TV, because that's what my brain was doing. But in order for me to really see the program, I have to be right here on him. And so I would go right up on him and I said, you're on TV. No, seriously. It's amazing. And I think I told him a story about what he's doing on TV, blah, blah, blah. And he just, I didn't know at the time again, but he was just like, get out of my face. So I decided, you know, the movie was over and something else needs to happen. I was wearing a wife beater at the time, no bra. And I was the Hulk. Thank you. And so I ripped it's amazing. Have you ever tried to do that? It's amazing that I accomplished this task all the way. I ripped it all the way open, and I was like, rah! This is so cool, but I've never seen a heterosexual male be so not interested in boobies. But that's not what I was going for anyway. I was the Hulk. And I had the shirt off at this point, and I'm like, this is magical. I don't think you understand. Watch this. Now, again, I don't know if you know this. If you rip the back half, picture this now, the holes that were meant for your sleeves, are now holes that you put over your head and you have a cape. And not just one cape, there are two sleeves. Evan had to wear a cape also. We're superheroes. We're high. This is what you wanted. So we are in capes, and he is so fed up. There's a formula in his head that he thinks will work, and it did. What he did was he put on the movie half-baked, and I'm like, I will finally get it. So excited. And then I'm so mad at him to this day. He put a Costco size party mix potato chip cheese doodle pretzel, you know the kind? You do. So he put it right in front of me, and I took the first bite and I was like, how did I ever underestimate Doritos in my life? And I was eating like, did you know about this? Oh my God, just like making all the noises because it's the only way it could taste even better. This was wonderful. 10 minutes later, I'm passed out. I'm sure he's happy. Again, he called me shameless the next day, and I decided maybe weed wasn't for me. I thought we were having a nice time, and it turns out I'm an asshole the whole time. So I never let anyone pass the joint to me. Never happens again. Cut to about 5 years ago, I start dating a pothead. Pothead's name is Lauren. Hi, Lauren. And so Lauren says, we should smoke. And I said, I've been here before. You don't want any of it. I was called shameless. Here's the story. You don't want it. Believe me. Lauren goes, yeah, I think we'll be okay. All right, you asked for it. We're going for it again, everybody. Capes to be made. Let's take it out. So I smoke some weed. And I like seltzer. And there was a seltzer bottle. And I blew the shit out of it. I was thorough. If you ever see bubbles in a seltzer, you will remember me now. Just open the seltzer and know that I did that. So the next day I said, I'm really sorry. I know what you wanna say. The word is shameless, here it is. And Lauren goes, I love you so much. That was the hottest moment in my life. We are engaged to be married. Yes. I've never been more happy. And I smoke pot every night now, but it's just to go to sleep. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everyone. I am Em Schultz.
And I'm Christine Schieffer. And we are the hosts of the scariest podcast. It's called And That's Why We Drink.
I handle all of the paranormal and Christine handles everything that's real and scary. Hopefully, there's a little something for everybody on our podcast. But in case you like us even more than just wanting to listen to us, you can read books that we have written. We wrote two whole books. Our newest book is A Haunted Road Atlas, Next Stop. And if that's not enough, we're also on tour.
Yes. Okay. If you like what you hear, you can also see us live. We are currently touring the nation with some scripted live shows of actual ghost hunts that we have done. And we like to go across the world and recount them to you with video evidence. Very dramatic. Anyway, find us on your favorite podcast listening platform, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find tickets to our live shows at andthatswhywedrink.com/live. And you can see any of the troubling things we're doing on Instagram and Facebook, etc. at ATWWD Podcast.
We're back.
Stone you just like they said they would. They stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone. But I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned. Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the street. They'll stone you when you're trying to keep your seat. They'll stone you when you're walking on the floor. They'll stone you when you're walking to the
This is Risk. This is Bob Dylan behind me now. So for this song, Dylan told his band to prepare a sort of drunken-sounding, New Orleans-style marching band in a parade kind of sound. Then he went to the bathroom while they were putting that together, and he wrote some lyrics down on toilet paper in a toilet stall and came back with this string of paper, told him to start the song. The reason there's so much laughing and hooting and hollering from the band is that they're hearing the lyrics for the first time. And in a little bit, we're going to hear an even more improvised song. It's Matt Higgins at a Risk live show in New York in 2010, a story told in song, more or less made up on the spot. But before that, a story from Will Clegg, who you can find at @WillClegg_ on Instagram. And here he is now with a story we call, Yeah, It's Weed.
I'm 14 years old, and I'm sitting in my childhood home on the couch across from my parents. It's just after dinner, and they've just sent my little brother and my little sister straight up to their rooms because we have to have a talk. So I know I'm in trouble, right? I don't know what kind of trouble just yet. I've been getting in a lot of trouble these last couple of years. So they're sitting there, furrowed brows across from me, and my dad reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a little plastic baggie filled with green leaves. And he holds it up and he says, your mother and I found this in your sock drawer. And it's either spices for spaghetti sauce or marijuana. He's trying to, you know, bring some levity to this moment, I guess. But what I can't tell him is that it actually is spices for spaghetti sauce in that bag. He's holding a bag of oregano and parsley that I have made into a fake bag of weed so I can sell and then get money for real weed. But I can't tell them this, right? I don't want them to know that I'm like an upstart fake drug dealer. So I just have to, like, you know, sheepishly be like, yeah, it's weed. And my dad, who's a physician, launches into this tirade about the dangers of smoking marijuana and what it does to your brain. And I'm just checked out. You know, I've heard all this before. Like, I've done the scared straight stuff at school. We had a whole quarter in health class about how dangerous pot is, but I know it's not dangerous. I mean, I've been smoking it for a year, you know? I'm an old pro at this point. And so what he's done, it's my mom's turn. Now, she's been sitting there just quietly furious. And as soon as she gets the chance, she says, do you know, do you have any idea how much trouble we would be in if the police came here and they raided our house and they found this? It's your dad and I that would be in trouble, not you. I've been sitting here just like taking my lumps, but I can't keep my mouth shut any longer. And I'm just like, why are the police raiding our house? Unless you and dad are involved in some kind of like tax evasion scheme, that's never going to happen, you know? And I should have kept my mouth shut because I think I was on the path to like a 2 or a 3 week grounding, but now it's become six weeks grounding. So as I'm stomping up the stairs to my bedroom to begin my sentence, I know why my parents are so upset. I am not the teenager that they expected to have. When I was a little kid, I was a real classic goody two shoes. I was very nerdy. I got straight A's in school. I went to church every Sunday. I played all the sports. I did everything that my parents told me to do. But then when I got to seventh grade and a new school, everything changed. I started getting bullied for being the good kid. And mostly that would happen on the school bus on the way home from school. All the seventh graders had to sit at the front of the bus, and the eighth and ninth graders were in the back. And then as soon as we left the school grounds, they would rush up to the front and they would force us to participate in what they called wedgie wars. This is where two seventh graders are pitted against each other and you have to try to give the other one a wedgie, you know, yank the other's underwear up as high as you possibly can, basically until it rips. And we would just sit there, you know, hoping that we weren't the one picked, but I was often the one picked because I was a scrawny little kid at that point. And I usually lost, you know, so I would get home and get off the bus and crying, you know, my ass is bleeding and my underwear is ripped. And then, like, I have to go home and like rush straight upstairs. So I didn't have to tell anybody what happened. And this happened all throughout the year. And there was more at school as well. And I didn't want that to keep happening, you know. So after seventh grade, I decided the best way for me to avoid getting bullied is to like start hanging out with the bullies. So this is going to require complete personality change. So I grow my hair long, and I petition my parents to get a drum set so I can join a band. I start smoking cigarettes and then experimenting with alcohol and marijuana, of course. And before I know it, I gotta sell fake weed in order to get money to buy real weed, because real weed's expensive, even in 1994, you know. And I wasn't very good at selling the fake weed, to be honest. It didn't occur to me that you don't get a lot of repeat customers, you know. They figured out pretty quick. So I don't know, maybe it was a good thing that I got busted before this startup got off the ground. And as I'm lying there on my bed just thinking about how I got to this place, I remember I actually do have some real weed left still in my good hiding place. It's in the bass drum of my drum kit, wrapped up in a blanket. My parents will never look there until, you know, 2 years later. And so I decided I gotta get rid of this last joint that I have, right? I don't want to get caught smoking it. I don't want to get caught having it. So the next day at school, I talk to one of my friends, Mary, and I tell her what's happened. And I say, I want to get rid of this joint. And she agrees to buy it from me for $5, a lot of money, you know? And so she lives right around the corner. It's very convenient. And that night, my parents are going out and leaving me home to babysit my brother and sister. So we concoct a plan. And as soon as it gets dark, I sit my brother and sister down in front of the TV. We're not allowed to watch TV on weeknights, so they're just mesmerized. And they don't even hear me slip out the back door. And I walk down the street, and it's, you know, this is a suburban area of Charlotte, North Carolina, manicured lawns. There's no street lights. This is not a kind of place where you expect a teenage drug deal to be going down necessarily. But there's a house down the street that was under construction, but then they just never finished it. And that's, you know, where we get into trouble. So we agreed to meet there, and I'm waiting there nervously for them to show up. And I see Mary and Jen come walking down the street, and they're with two people who I don't know. Though Jen I know from school, and these other guys, I don't know. And they come up and they introduce themselves, and their names are Sammy and Chris, and they go to a different school. That's why I don't know them. And they look a lot like the bozos that I'm hanging out with at my school now. Like, they have the huge baggy jeans, you know, and white undershirts as t-shirts and gold chains. And they seem nice enough. We know a lot of people in common, whatever. I just want to get down to business, you know. So I give Mary the joint. She gives me the $5, and I'm ready to go home. But then she asks, can you keep lookout while we smoke this? I'm like, yeah, all right, fine, just be quick, you know. So Mary and Jen, they walk back behind the house to smoke the joint. But Sammy and Chris, they don't do drugs. They're straight edge. So they stay to hang out with me and keep watch. And we're talking, you know, about bands we like and girls that we think are cute. And then we get to that awkward moment of silence. We don't really have anything else to say because we don't know each other at all. And then Sammy says, hey, man, can I borrow some money? It's a strange request, you know, to a 14-year-old, right? Like, I don't have a job anymore. And all I have, you know, is this $5 in my pocket. And I'm like, you know, I'm sorry, man. I don't have any money. I'm never going to see these guys again. Like, why would I lend the money, you know? And then just then Chris comes up behind me and he jams something into the small of my back. The next thing I do is one of the dumbest things I've ever done in like a lifetime of questionable decisions. My hand is right by this thing in my back, and I just reach out with a finger and I gently touch it, and I feel the cold metal barrel of a gun, and I freeze. And he just whispers to me, hey man, just be cool, just give him the money, okay? And I reach in my pocket and I grab this crumpled up $5 bill and I hand it over. And I say, you don't even have to pay me back. And then Mary and Jen, they start walking up from behind the house, and I'm shaking like a leaf now, you know, and then Chris backs off, and then both of them are like, all right, man, just be cool. Nothing happened, all right? Be cool, be cool. And they start like slapping me five, like we're friends again. We're not friends, you know? But like Mary and Jen, they're so high, they can't tell that I'm so terrified. It's so dark, and we all just say goodbye, and I watch them walk down the street, and as soon as they're out of sight, I sprint all the way back to my parents' house. And I rush in the back door, And I go to the living room, and my brother and my sister, they're still just sitting there on the floor watching the TV. They have no idea that I've even left. Like, nothing has happened, but like, something has definitely happened. I'm terrified still. I mean, like, what if that guy just pulled the trigger? Like, even if it was by accident, you know? And I don't have anybody to talk to about this. I mean, my siblings, they're kids, you know, and it's too late to call any of my new friends from school. And like, also, they're not going to be okay with this. They're going to like call me a pussy or something, you know, it's going to be a sign of weakness. So I'm not going to tell my parents. I mean, they're right now, right? Like, I can't tell them anything about any of this. So I just have to sit with it by myself all night, and I barely sleep. The next day at school, I see Mary in the hallway, and you know, I grab her, I pull her aside, and I'm like, hey, you know, your friends, like, they robbed me. Like, they put a gun in my back. Like, what the fuck was that? You know, and she starts laughing. And she's like, they don't have a gun. Like, why would you think that? I'm like, I touched it. It was a gun. Like, who are you hanging out with? And then she just cackles, like, even louder, and says, you're crazy, and just walks away. And I'm standing there in the hallway, just feeling like alone, angry, and afraid. And I feel like I'm back on that fucking bus. I know I'm not that scrawny little kid anymore, but I've also just put myself into way more danger by pretending to be somebody who I'm not. I don't really know who I am yet at 14, you know, but I know now that I gotta start figuring it out. You know, maybe then I'll find some real friends, people that I can confide in, people that maybe will protect each other. Thanks.
Spring morning, I was taking my daughter to school. We were super late, so I flagged down a gypsy cab. Down a gypsy cab, we got into the gypsy cab. I strapped my baby in the seat. We drove down Broadway, and I said, Elwood and Bogardus, that's in Washington Heights, that's in Washington Heights. We passed Keenum's pub, it's closed now. Cops shut it down, 'cause they were dealing coke. Yeah, they were dealing coke. We got to a school, she was going to kindergarten. I opened the door, I put my baby on the curb. I said, be safe, baby, don't run in the street. Then I turned, I looked in the back, to see if I left anything. I do that from time to time. I don't ever leave stuff. My wife did today, but that's beside the point. I've looked in the back. I looked in the back of a gypsy cab. And sitting there, right where I was sitting, was a sweet, sweet bag of weed. A sweet bag of weed. A sweet, sweet bag of weed. The green kind of minty kind. The red squiggles in it. Really come in. If you put your thumb on it, it would stick. Sticky green weed. Listen up. I hadn't smoked weed in like 8 years. I had a little problem with it. A little problem. Yeah. 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 I picked up the weed. I put it in my pocket. Wouldn't want it to get in the wrong hands. Yeah. Here's the thing. When I smoked weed, I really loved it. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? I think some of you might. I think that guy might. I think that guy might. Yeah. I used to smoke it morning, noon, and night. He might. Morning, noon, and he might. At night. One time I smoked it before I went to work at a hotel restaurant. In the morning breakfast time, I said to my fellow waiters, I'm waiting on John John Kennedy. Isn't that cool? They said it's not John John Kennedy. It's some guy who works in accounting. I looked and they were right. He had a name tag that said, I'm not John John. It's a funny name tag. Is this thing on? Guess what? I went into the school with my daughter in my hand and the bag of weed in my pocket. I said, goodbye, baby. Goodbye, baby. Goodbye, bye, 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 baby. She left. I turned and started walking away. Look at my shadow. It'd be cool if I was high, but I'm not. I heard a voice, Mr. Higgins. I turned. It was the security guard. She said, Mr. Higgins, you gotta sign your daughter in. She was late. Oh, I thought I was busted, but I wasn't. Signed her in. I turned. I walked out of the school. The door shut behind me. I was on the steps of the school. I called my wife. I said, hey, Trace, you're not
gonna believe what I found in the back of a gypsy cab. She said, a wallet? I said, no. She said, a cell phone? I said, no, no. I said, I found a bag of weed. She said, get rid of it. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Slow down. You're talking crazy. Get rid of it, she said. I said it was free. Who wants a free bag of weed in the back of a gypsy cab? Oh, the green kind, the sticky kind. She said, get rid of it. Get rid of it. She said, throw it in the street. I said, you're crazy. That's irresponsible. I'm in front of a school. She said, I'm not getting off the phone till you get rid of the weed. I said, oh yeah? Well, I hope you have an infinite number of minutes. And I know you don't, cause we have the same plan. And she said, people, she said, people, poison weed. The weed could be poison, she said. People do that, you know. They poison weed and they leave it in the back of gypsy cab. I said, no, they don't. No, they don't. I've never seen that in the newspaper. That's a lie. La 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 la, like a rug. As I turned onto Hillside Avenue, the same hillside that has a dumpster on it, the same dumpster that later on the weed would end up in. As I walked on Hillside Avenue, I thought to myself, what am I really gonna throw away? It's not just a bag of green sticky weed. It's a bag of green sticky youth. That's a thing I think I really want back. Not the weed, but the weed days. But before I go, I want to tell you something. I made a New Year's resolution that this year I would start smoking weed again. Just like many resolutions, it hasn't been fulfilled. But I forgive myself for that. Hey, if you're holding, you know what I look like. I'll be in the back. And together, we can continue my delay.
Emma Magdalena.
Well, that is all for the Best of Drug Stories number 3. If you've got a story about any kinds of drugs, whether it's a funny story, scary, tragic, spiritual, whatever it is, pitch it to us at risk-show.com/submissions. And there's still time to sign up for my 8-week-long online storytelling workshops that I'm leading this spring and summer, or to sign up for a one-on-one hangout with me on Zoom, just email me at kevin@risk-show.com for more information. Folks, today's the day. Take a risk.
Wow, man. That's some heavy shit, man.